Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins. I'm the head of the abuse team at Hugh James, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Alan.
And this is Danielle's first podcast, actually, because she has recently joined Hugh James. So the pair of us are going to be talking about the Northern Ireland redress scheme. And we thought it'd be a good idea, the pair of us, to talk about this because it hasn't really had a lot of publicity. And our take is that it's a good scheme and survivors of child abuse from Northern Ireland ought to take advantage of it. So by way of a bit of an intro, the Historic Institution of Abuse Inquiry investigated abuse of children under the age of 18 who were living in institutions in Northern Ireland between 1922 and 1995. The investigation reviewed 22 institutions, but noted there were further organisations identified. The inquiry published its report in January 2017. The inquiry found that abuse was widespread within various institutions in Northern Ireland. And it's against that backdrop that we have got this redress scheme, which was created through the UK Parliament and came into being in the early part of 2020. And it's concerned with people who, as children, youngsters, were in numerous institutions in Northern Ireland. For example, the Kincora Boys Home in Belfast, the St Patrick's Training School in Belfast, Barnardo's at Newton Abbey, St Joseph's Home in Londonderry, or Derry if you prefer. So that's just a range of these sort of institutions that are covered. So against that sort of backdrop, Danielle, can you explain to listeners why it might be a good idea for survivors to consider making an application to the redress scheme and how we might be able to help them?
Yes, of course, Alan. Well, the scheme, it would seem, is going to be able to reach out to thousands of people that have been impacted in this long period of time. And it also includes people that have sadly passed away. So their spouses or children can also make an application on their behalf. The application is quite a simplistic process, and that's something that we can assist with. It would be drafting a statement of what has happened to the individual, which will then be considered by the board. And then an application, once that's considered, a response is received pretty timely. And hopefully for the people that this will affect, they've been waiting a long, long time for this scheme to come about. So the report came out in 2017 and this only opened this year. So I'm sure there's quite a few people that are ready to start this process.
Yes, indeed. And I have found that it's quite a straightforward process, although you've got to be a little bit techie because you are sort of expected to do this online. You can write in and get a paper application form, but the expectation, I think, is really that you're meant to do it online and fill in the form online. So that's what I've been doing. And as a solicitor, you have to sort of register with the scheme so you have access to the portal. So you submit your application through this portal, you fill in all the data, you know, the bits and pieces that are required, and you have to obtain information from the survivor stroke client and input all of that, the send button, and you get a receipt. So it's quite straightforward, but it did require a little bit of preparation. You've got to be a little bit savvy with the IT, but as I said, you don't have to use IT. You can apply for a paper form and fill it out and find an envelope, stick a stamp on the envelope and post it to them. Anyway, also what's interesting is that, from my take, that the scheme is quite generous. I know it's very hard and it always sounds a bit wrong when you talk about sums of money because no sum of money can ever put right what happened. But comparing apples with pears and pears with apples, my experience of this scheme is it's quite generous. And do you want to tell us a little bit about that, Danielle?
Yes, I agree. So there's three parts of this scheme. So the first part is a £10,000 award if you were within one of these institutions. Now, there are a number of institutions. They're not all included in the report or on the brief that we include with this blog. But if you were within the institution and then there is a record, that then you will be applicable for this sum of money. The next sum between 10,000 and 80,000 is dependent on your experience. So that would be something that we would help with to draft your statement, to consider the nature of what happened to you, how long you were at the institution, and the ongoing impact on your life really after that. There is a third sum of £20,000 if you are somebody that has been affected by the Child Migrant Programme, which was when some individuals were sent to Australia. So that would be the third part on top of the 80,000 potentially top award for other clients.
So, yeah, it's very interesting. So anybody listening in, or if you know of somebody who may be eligible, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you could still be in Australia, having been migrated out there from one of the children's homes, for example, but not necessarily in Northern Ireland, and you would be eligible for compensation. So it seems to me as though it's a scheme that people need to know about and take advantage of if they're survivors, because it may be something that they really do need, and it may be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get some kind of little bit of justice, even if it's not perfect justice.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So what do people need to do, Danielle, if they want a bit of help, they want some advice, they want some assistance, what do they need to do?
Yeah, so Alan, anyone can contact us. Our contact details are on the website. We can talk you through the scheme and how you would apply and what sort of statement we would draft and go from there, really. Once the application is submitted, it then goes to a board. And if the client is unhappy with the compensation amount, then we can consider the appeals process also. So the application goes in and then it's awaited to be considered by the board.
So the message is, don't sit on the fence, don't delay, get an application in. And if we can help you, then don't hesitate to get in touch.
Yes, I think the sooner you come aboard and get your application in, the better, really.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Thank you, listeners. I hope that will have been of interest to you or members of your family. So please do get in touch.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.